Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this Thursday, September the 10th, 2020, 9:10:20, 17 minutes past the hour. And we want to thank legendary journalist, formerly of Newsweek, now with the Daily Beast, and longtime panelist on television's The McLaughlin Group, Eleanor Clift, for joining us in hour number one for the hour to discuss everything going on in the world, from the stimulus package to the Bob Woodward book and audio that was released yesterday, and comments made in The Atlantic recently, and of course the upcoming election overall. So we thank Eleanor for being on in hour number one. Now this hour we are going to continue to talk about the upcoming election, and we are going to talk about it as it relates to Ohio at this point. And we're joined by a first-time visitor to this program, but hopefully not a last-time visitor. He is the president of the Ohio AFL-CIO, Tim Berger. Tim, how are you?
Hey, Scott, it's Tim Berger, and I'm a Marion product of city and county public schools. Grew up in Marion.
Is that right?
River Valley High School, class of 79.
Tim, tell people, for people who don't know, what is the AFL-CIO?
The AFL-CIO is the Federation of Trade Unions in this country. We have a national office, and we are the state chapter, so to speak. So we represent about 45 different international unions and about 1,600 local unions in the state of Ohio, and we're the federated voice for organized labor and working people in the state.
How many people in the state are involved in this particular union?
It's a federation of unions, and in Ohio we have approximately 700,000 active union members, roughly half in the private sector working and roughly half working in the public sector.
How does this figure into the upcoming election?
Well, it figures in that organized labor and those of us in it have a duty to get involved and engaged in politics to put people in place that will help deliver for working people. So it's to get the policies right to help working people get ahead. So we're very involved in the political process, and as a result, very engaged in this presidential election year.
Is this year more important than other years?
Well, you know, it's probably a kind of a worn-out phrase, most important election of our lifetime, but this election is so critical. The stakes are so high, and it's not only just about, although it's extremely important to talk about the issues that matter most to working people, and there's a clear difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden on these issues. There's no doubt about that, but it's also an election about, you know, who we are as a nation and what we want to be. And 4 years of what we've seen with this president, not just breaking his promises to working people, but how he's conducted himself, and you know, with the most recent revelations, and I wish I didn't have to say this, but I'm not surprised of what he's telling Bob Woodward about knowing the real dangerous threat of the coronavirus and then downplaying it. It's just 4 years, and this president has to go. So, what we'll be telling our members and working people, we'll be asking them the question, after 4 years of Donald Trump, are the lives of working people better? Are our jobs safer? Is our future brighter? Is our country stronger? And the answer is a resounding no. And then you compile that with all the other things related to, you know, just the rule of law and our democracy. And now it didn't have to be this way with the pandemic. And here we are, picking up the pieces, and it's working people that are helping us get the deliver through this pandemic.
I want to get to the economy, because I believe that's such an important issue, but just because it was breaking news yesterday, you alluded to it there, the Woodward tape, and we heard it in hour number one, speaking with Eleanor Clift. What do you make of it in general?
Well, make of it a president that doesn't care about the health and safety of the American people. That's a shocking thing to say about the president of the United States, but it's hard to square it with anything else. And, you know, he knew what the scientists and the health experts around the globe were saying, is that this is a deadly virus. We don't fully understand it, but it's extremely contagious, and we have to take all precautions. And, you know, he went out there and held those rallies and said something completely different to the American people. And, you know, the power of the presidency is something fierce. And when the president talks, you know, so many people are going to listen to that, and it ends up politicizing a pandemic, which is unconscionable. And as a result, we have to do everything in our power, and we're going to talk to our members and working people about why this president has broken his promises to them on jobs and on worker safety and health, but also just the health and safety of the country overall.
You know, interestingly enough, if you go to anybody right now, you talk about the pandemic, they will give you one way or another an opinion about how the president has handled it, which maybe has changed since yesterday, but they all say the same thing, that Donald Trump has been good for the economy. What do you say to that?
Well, not so fast is what I say to that. Even before the pandemic, you have to remember that there were 16 million jobs created under the Obama-Biden administration when Trump took office. That really began to, you know, just kind of hold steady. It wasn't major growth. And actually, wages were stagnating even before the pandemic. And now, because of the handling of the pandemic, it's made matters worse. So we've got the most difficult economy right now and the most people on unemployment since the Great Depression. And again, you know, it's how you handle the pandemic that has made matters worse. But if you look at, and here's the thing, and the plain truth, and we're going to call it like I see it, you know, for the good of the country, the working people gave Donald Trump every chance to prove himself. But it's clearer than ever for working people to defeat the coronavirus and to defeat economic inequality, we're going to have to remove this president from the White House. We have over 200,000 less manufacturing jobs in America now when Donald Trump took office. We remember the promises that he said when he came into Ohio in 2016. And he told those people up in Youngstown, don't sell your homes, General Motors isn't going anywhere. Well, he wasn't able to keep General Motors there, and General Motors got rewarded with Trump tax breaks. They leave, and you know, the jobs didn't come flooding back. And we haven't seen the jobs come flooding back in Ohio. And now he's telling people to boycott Goodyear, an Ohio-based American company, because he got upset with a decision they made regarding wearing political clothing in the workplace. So he's not delivered on the jobs and the economy he promised. And he's got a record to run on now, Scott.
When it comes to this, why do you think there is this misconception that he has been great for the economy?
Well, he talks a good story. And the stock market, if you remember where the stock market was when Obama and Biden took office in January of 2019, or 29, it was in the tank, right? So the stock market came back. Obama saved the auto industry with Biden's help, and many members of Congress and the like, and we got the economy moving again. And Trump inherited that, and the stock market has continued to grow. But the stock market economy is not a worker economy. It's not a jobs economy. It's not a wage economy. So there's this misconception. Donald Trump gets on TV, and he talks about talking tough about China and fair trade. Well, the reality of it is he has this love-hate relationship with China and fair trade. And what people may not know, and it's our job to make sure our members and working people understand, is that our import-export deficit under this president has reached new heights. China now is the leading importer of goods and products into U.S. markets and into Ohio markets. So you can talk as tough as you want, but you've got to have a record that demonstrates that you can deliver for the American people, and he hasn't delivered on jobs, and he hasn't delivered on reducing our import-export deficit. And that's the plain truth.
Ohio, for so many years, has been considered a swing state. President Trump won Ohio in 2016 by a pretty wide margin. What do you think is going to happen in about 2 months?
Well, you know, look, there were many working people that voted for Donald Trump in 2016. Some maybe voted for him because they didn't like Hillary Clinton. Some maybe voted for him because they thought he'd shake up the system. And some maybe thought he would actually deliver on some of the promises he's made. What I'm feeling and hearing and seeing as I talk to people in the state of Ohio, and whether it's in person or virtually, is that they don't understand why their lives haven't gotten better. And our job is to help them connect the dots to that. And again, we're going to ask them the question, are your lives better today than they were 4 years ago? Are our jobs safer? Is our future brighter? Is our country stronger? The polling is suggesting no, and what I'm hearing and seeing directly is that's definitely the case. So there's shift and there's movement. I don't predict outcomes of elections, but there's definitely been movement, even over the last three elections since 2016, Scott. So I feel like working people are, their eyes are open now. I think that the vote, especially the female vote in the large suburbs in the state of Ohio, are trending away from Donald Trump. So I think it's going to be a very close election, and I think voter enthusiasm is going to be extremely high.
Why is Joe Biden the right man to lead the country?
Well, we've known Joe Biden for a long time in the House of Labor. Joe knows us. He has a long record of supporting our first responders, reporting our those who work in building construction trades, our transportation trades, manufacturing, those that are working with their hands and backs for a living, those in the public sector. He supports strong public education. He's got a decades-long resume of supporting working people. And, you know, he wants to build back better. He wants to make a Buy American a reality, not just a slogan. And he's laid out specific plans about that in his Build Back Better plan. So he's got a strong economic record. He's laid out a strong jobs and economy plan that starts with having everybody have a chance to succeed, whether it's through manufacturing and an industrial economy or whether it's about the new jobs of tomorrow. He's laid it out there for the American people to see on his website. He's talked about it at his convention, and he's got a record to back it up. So we're fully behind Joe Biden because we desperately need a change in this country. We need a change, somebody that can bring the country together to begin the healing, that will unite us, that will help us bridge our economic gaps, our racial injustices, our income inequality, all those things, and restore order, frankly, and the rule of law in the White House.
Just very quickly, how are people involved in unions in Ohio doing during this pandemic? A lot of people still had to go to work. They didn't get to work from home. They can't work from home. There's been a lot of talk about pay. There was pay that was going to people, extra pay, that disappeared in a lot of ways. How's that going right now?
Well, thank you for asking that question. Most union workers in the state of Ohio were considered essential from the get-go because of nature of their job. Again, whether they were first responders or in food service or transportation or even manufacturing. So they've been out there delivering us through this pandemic. Now, what we're asking in return is for policymakers to deliver for us. And that's what this election's all about. And you know, we just had Labor Day, celebrated Labor Day on Monday, Scott, and in many ways, I look forward to it every year. It's a progress report on the American labor movement, and it's a tribute to the resilience of the labor movement that even when the state of our union is in such disarray, the state of the trade union movement is strong. And union members have answered the call of the coronavirus pandemic, and we've seen it every day and in every way. We've served, we've sacrificed, we've healed. We've honored the country, we love the country unions built. And I believe that's why new research from Gallup released just last week puts our approval rating at 68%. It's one of the best marks, Scott, we've had in more than half a century.
Mm. And do we think there'll be something for the union workers before the end of the year?
Well, you know, again, Mitch McConnell is not delivering for us. So, again, and his election is up this year as well. The HEROES Act was passed by the Democrats in the House of Representatives 16 weeks ago to, you know, help those that are delivering us through the pandemic, and those that need a lift up and a hand up continue to get through this and, frankly, help our overall economy. And Mitch McConnell's not interested in moving that package. He's pulling some sort of a gimmick, and he's going to call the Senate back in and vote on what they're calling a so-called skinny package, Scott, which really isn't going to get the job done. I don't think it's going to pass, and then hopefully they'll get to the business of, you know, passing something more serious and really getting the work done and helping people out.
Tim, before we let go, I just have one parting question, because, you know, people who are not in unions, when you talk to them, most of the time they will say, you know, unions protect the lazy. We don't like them. We don't want them in the shops. They've driven businesses to other countries because they've tried to negotiate higher wages. What do you say to those people?
Well, you know, we can't have the rest of the country dictating what our way of life, what our work standard, what our wages, what our health conditions are going to look like. We have to use the American superpower might that we have to set the stage and standards for workers' rights, human rights, how monetary standards are enforced and upheld across the globe, fair trade. We need to bring other nations up to our standards. And it's the trade union movement, as you probably know, Scott, during the 1930s when we passed the National Labor Relations Act that, and the Fair Labor Standards Act that got us the ability to collectively bargain so workers would have a collective voice at work to bargain for safe working conditions and wages and health care and have a 40-hour work week and have overtime pay and, you know, be able to negotiate a little bit of time off. So it's the trade union movement that set the standard and created the American middle class. So every now and then we have to have a re-education about that. We had that re-education back in 2011. If you remember, Senate Bill 5 was about trying to kneecap public employee unions. And, you know, there was a grand discussion in the state of Ohio, and Ohioans overwhelmingly said, we need trade unions to help us set the bar for working people in this state, in this country. So that's how I would respond to that.
Tim, I can't thank you enough for joining us this morning. It's interesting to know you're a graduate of River Valley, and we thank you for coming on this morning.
Okay. Thanks, Scott, and take care.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Tim Berga, the president of the Ohio AFL-CIO. What an interesting morning we're having here. Now, telephone lines are open if you'd like to talk about anything this morning. Eleanor Clift or Tim Berga, a lot of opinions flying around, and again, this is what we try to do here. We try to educate, we try to inform, but your opinions are certainly as valid as anything we would say. 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. 35 minutes past the hour, 25 minutes left here. You know, it's interesting, because yesterday was a big news day here in Marion, and, you know, we're obviously not going to act like it didn't happen, but for a while now, there has been speculation on what would happen with Judge Warner and his wife, who were involved in the hit-and-skip case on June the 4th, and yesterday, charges came about here in September. And this has been a debated issue for a long time. What would the charges be? When will they come out? What's going on? And now it's happened. And I was talking to somebody last night about this. And here's the thing. Much like when the judge, when we first found out the judge was involved in this accident, there has not been a trial yet. We have charges. Now, we're just going to have to see how that goes. Charges are not convictions. Charges are not deals. Charges are not guilt. So let's put it that way. And everybody deserves their day in court, and it looks like the judge and his wife are going to have their day in court. But when this story broke yesterday, you could not find a bigger internet story. I'm not really sure. I mean, certainly it's local, so you take it from that standard, that that's why a lot of people are invested in it. But it was also covered by the Columbus News yesterday, pretty much all the stations that covered it when we found out about it. It was covered, I believe, by the Columbus Dispatch. We'll probably be in there today. It's become bigger than a Marion story. And a lot of stories don't become bigger than Marion stories. This certainly has become a Columbus story. And I think it's probably because of the unusual nature of it. And what I hope, and I'm not saying this is not happening, I just hope that we can keep it factual other than opinion oriented. We can all have opinions on it. I did a Facebook Live about this the other night, and this became the topic, and I did not mean for this to become the topic, but it happened before the charges were levied yesterday. And what we've got to do, we certainly can have opinions on anything. That's our right as Americans under the First Amendment. We can have opinions on anything. We just cannot factualize our opinions. We can't say this is the truth, unless it is. And a lot of things I'm seeing being said are of strict opinion. And that's okay. We're entitled to opinion. But I hope people distinguish between the two, because we've got to see the facts to know exactly what's going on. Now, phone lines are open if you'd like to weigh in. I know that was a heavy-duty subject the first time I brought it up here, so the day after the charges, we can talk about it again if you like. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And certainly, we've talked about it a great deal with people who've been in here. We talked about it with the mayor. We talked about it with the sheriff. We talked about it with the police chief. We talked about it with the Republican candidate for sheriff, Matt Bales. Everybody has some kind of opinion about it. And it continues to unfold, and we'll see what happens, I guess, is where we are now. Now, I don't know what will happen as far as resignations, because that's been the main thrust of this so far, is the mayor called on Judge Warner to resign, and some others have suggested that that is what should happen. I guess Judge Warner will make that decision, and certainly the people who know what the rules and laws are for that office will also make that decision. But charges have been filed. We can say that now factually. We can say charges have been filed, and we can certainly say an accident did happen on June the 4th, and we do know that it was not reported by the judge and his wife for 9 hours. Those are the facts we have. Beyond that, there's really nothing more we can say at this particular point. But if there's anything you want to say, feel free to buzz in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Weigh in if there's anything on your mind. Also, don't forget, On the Air with Glenn Coble will be coming up today from 10 a.m. till 12 noon. Then we have Swap Shop today from 12:15 until 1 p.m. And then we have the Adam the Computer Guy show from 2:10 until 3 p.m. That straight ahead today on WWGH Radio. So all that coming up, plus a lot of other great programming here and there today over the airwaves here. You know, I had a good time yesterday. Oh, by the way, the cupcakes that I got yesterday as a gift from one of our listeners, I thank them for that. I thank them privately yesterday, but I want to thank them over the air. Very delicious cupcakes. And you know, the thing of that is that I think that cooking can really be a work of art. I really do think there's something to cooking that can be very creative. much like painting, much like acting, much like writing. I think cooking is in there. And yesterday, the cupcakes I got were definitely a work of art. It was not just your basic, Duncan Hines or Betty Crocker. Not that there's anything wrong with those cupcakes. So I certainly do appreciate the time and effort that went into making those. So I thank the person who did that. Also thank the person who showed up yesterday morning with the soda. I have to thank them again because, as I said yesterday, it was such an awful situation that the place I normally go to in the morning, the pop machine was broken yesterday. And just by coincidence, somebody showed up in the parking lot with a soda yesterday. So that was a very, very, very good thing. So I appreciate that quite a bit. And, and interestingly enough, last night I had a very fun time visiting with some people. You know, it's interesting because I've always said this. I don't think we do enough visiting. I don't think we do enough face-to-face visiting. Text messaging is fine. Messaging is fine. And yes, we have to do that sometimes because we lead busy lives. But I do still like to visit with people when possible. And I think there's something different about it. I think you get more out of a face-to-face visit. And last night was a really unexpected kind of impromptu visit. And it really had no purpose other than just to visit. And I really had a good time with that last night. Just visited with two really good people. So that was a lot of fun. And I think more people should do this, even in the pandemic age. We've still got to maintain our connections. Now, let's see here. On the other hand, I'm getting messages now, and I'm not sure. See, sometimes I think people are talking in code, and obviously I don't know what code they're talking in. Here we go. See, I don't know. Somebody just messaged me and said, I need a T for this conversation. Now, does T mean anything out of the ordinary, or are they just maybe, like, do they have like a cold? Do they need like a warm tea to drink it back? And I have to agree with what this person is saying, the message I'm getting, that there's somebody who used to be somewhat social and used to listen to this program on a somewhat regular basis, but they've become very chilly lately. I don't know. Now, yesterday I had a little bit of conversation with them, and it was pretty good conversation, but they've become a little chilly, and I'm not really sure what's going on there. I mean, I hope everything's okay. You know, you don't want to pry in somebody's life. Now, I'm nosy. Heavens knows I'll pry into your life, but I hope everything's okay, but this has been like a chill for like 2 or 3 weeks, and I don't know what's going on. Oh, the person has allergies. That's why they need a tea. Well, yeah, okay, then I was right. They just need a warm tea because they are having some kind of an allergic reaction. Now, this person is saying they miss this person who's being chilly. Do they miss me? Do you miss me? Now, see, now I have to be needy on the air. Do you miss me? I'm going to tell you something here without getting into anybody's personal business, because heaven knows you don't want to air personal business on the air, even though I do it from time to time. Never my own personal business, by the way. Always somebody else's personal business. But let's see here. But there's just a mess here. Okay, here is the thing. People, I think, are miserable right now. I think there are some people right now who are living in misery. And I gave some good advice the other day that I thought was really good advice. What I said was, I said, you cannot change anybody else. I still believe this. You can't change other people. Now, they might change momentarily for a minute, but you can't change them overall. They're always going to be the people they're going to be. That id, that inner personality, is always going to come back out. So the only person you can really deal with is yourself. Now, it's even hard to change yourself because we get in patterns. We get in patterns and we get in cycles. So what we need to know in life is what we don't want to do is be unhappy. That's a pattern and a cycle we don't want to get into. We don't want to get into patterns or cycles. So that's a thing. I have no idea what I just got a picture of. It looks like a sock. I got a picture of a sock. Well, isn't that exciting? You know what's interesting? The person I'm talking with right now, messaging with, just said that they don't miss me as much as they miss the other person since they became chilly, because they get to listen every morning. So apparently, me just giving speeches is pretty well like being with me in person. I guess this is all very similar, is what happens. Now, some people will say you can grow and grow up, back to the change thing. You know, I don't know. I really don't know if the inner person ever changes. Like, let's say a dramatic person. I'm of the belief that people who are dramatic really deep down know that they're dramatic. And they kind of, they gravitate toward drama. But I think they know they gravitate toward drama. I think they are fully aware of what's going on in their life. And I think, now here's a revelation about drama, because we always talk about people and their drama. Here's my revelation about people and their drama. I think people like drama to get themselves attention, because I think people are starved for attention. I know people who have flushed friendships, relationships, acquaintances down the toilet because they're not getting enough attention from the other person. So that's very interesting. And no, I'm not saying you're dramatic. This is interesting because I'm having a message conversation over here. So I'm answering the person because I know they can hear my voice. No, I'm not saying that this person is dramatic I'm talking to. What I'm saying is I do think some people get tied up in their own drama. But I think they know they're dramatic. I really do. I think they know they're dramatic. And unfortunately, that's just the way it goes. I don't know. Here's the thing. Now, what I don't like in drama, and I do consider this drama, by the way. Have you ever had a friendship or a relationship with somebody and you ask them what's wrong? Because you clearly know something's wrong. Now, it might not have anything to do with you, and that's perfectly fine, but it creates a chilly relationship between you and them. So whatever, it may be something going on in their own personal life. Like I said, it might not have anything to do with you, but they don't tell you what is going on that's chilly. And I'm not saying that people can't keep things private. That's perfectly fine. But you just wish people would be a little more open, because you do want to help. You do want to say, oh, listen, that's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. It's all going to turn out okay on the other side. That's what we want to say. That's what we want to do. And that's the type of people I try to surround myself with. And I've said this before on this program. I cannot stand fair weather friends. That is my biggest pet peeve. I cannot stand people who they're there for you when things are going well. You know, oh, when things are good, they're right there with you. But when things start to go wrong, when you get labeled something bad, all of a sudden they disappear. All of a sudden they're gone. They have no more interest in anything going on in your life. Well, you know, everybody's got tough times. Everybody has bad moments. That's when people need friends. That's when people need the people in their life. So if you desert somebody when they're having a bad time, you know, what kind of friend were you in the beginning? People should think about that. By the way, we have about 8 minutes left here. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Anything you'd like to talk about, this or anything else. You know what just happened? I'm sitting in a chair that goes up and down. You know, you can adjust it by the lever on the side. And I moved to, like, the edge of the chair for some reason. I don't know why I moved to the edge of the chair. Get closer to the microphone, I guess. And I could feel the chair start to go down. And I was just sinking. And it was a very strange feeling. I just know that I would not want to spend a lot of people. I would not want to spend a lot of time with people who make you miserable. You know what's funny? We're getting a phone call. Somebody to break up my monotony. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Hey, bud, what'd you think about the wet weather we had a couple days ago?
Oh, it was so... I could not believe the rain that came down in that short period of time, over 6 inches.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had 3 feet of water in my basement.
My goodness.
And it took out my hot water tank, so I had to pay somebody to come and do it. My street, I live on Chestnut Street and Leader Street down there. There's a house fire down there, and the fire department couldn't get to it. That's how high the water was on that street.
Really?
Yeah, it was something. Everywhere you went, seemed like it. I started to drive down Mount Vernon Avenue on one of them side streets. I didn't even see the water until I was right up on it. Before I knew it, it was up pretty close to my doors.
Really?
Yeah, I had to back up real quick and get the heck out of that situation.
Oh, I can understand. Did you hear my trauma yesterday when I went to the place where I get my soda and the machine was broken?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's how I felt. I felt like, you know, this is like the Hindenburg falling, the Titanic sinking.
Wow, that's bad. Oh. I mean, without your drink in the morning, man, that's not a good thing.
No, and I barely function, you know, when I do have my drink, let alone when I don't.
Good God, I feel you there, bud.
Did I tell you, did you hear what happened, though, yesterday when I didn't have my drink?
Bits and pieces. I really didn't get the full...
Let me tell you, it's a miracle. You know, you hear about these miracles. Well, yesterday I got to see one close up. Because here's what, and I'm going to shorten this up because I've told this story before, but here's what happened. I went to the place to get the drink yesterday, and they said, oh, sorry, the machine's broken, you can't get the drink. So I'm really in trouble now. So I get on Center Street, and I decide, well, I can stop at Certified. I thought I'm going to be smart about this. I can stop at Certified, and I can get a fountain drink there. So I go in, and for some reason, it just tastes different. I'm not blaming Certified. I'm sure it was perfectly fine. It just tasted different. So as I'm driving up the street, I think, oh, man, this is not going to be a good day. I can't get a drink. This is bad. So I pull into the parking lot here, and literally, I had just gotten out of my car. Within 60 seconds, somebody pulls into the parking lot. I had no idea they were coming. Total surprise. And they had a McDonald's pop that they had gotten on Main Street.
Wow, you really lucked out.
Isn't that a miracle?
Yeah, it sure was. It made your day right there, didn't it?
Well, it makes those whole, like, statues crying and paintings being... It makes that all look, you know, trivial compared to what happened to me yesterday.
Yeah, well, I got the thing there. I don't know what it is about the king-size Milky Ways. You can't find one. Everybody's sold out.
Oh, no. Is this a pandemic thing like the toilet paper?
That's what I'm thinking. I've been to every place. I just cannot get a full-size two-piece Milky Way now.
Oh, this is terrible.
Yes, it is. I mean, I had to get the small one, and I didn't get it.
No, it doesn't get it. You know, and even getting two small ones is not the same as a big one.
No, it ain't. It's just not the same.
No, it's not the same. Well, I'm sorry to hear it, but is everything good now with the water damage?
Oh, yeah. We got her pumped out. We got hot water again, which is a blessing. I mean, I like cold showers, but not real cold.
No, there is a point you don't want to get in there. Some people like hot showers. You know, I don't understand that. Have you ever heard these people who like these really, like, scalding hot showers?
Oh, no, I wouldn't go that route. No.
I think they're a glutton for punishment.
I think they are too. Either or else they got super sore muscles.
Oh, they have something. It's a very peculiar situation, that's for sure.
No, I like my water warm, and I like it cold whenever I wash my hair, but other than that, I like it warm.
You know, I like it in the middle, somewhere in the middle. You know, I don't like the coldish water, but I don't like the scalding water either.
There you go. That's the same. That's the same way I call it, too.
I ride the fence just like every other thing in my life on this particular issue.
There you go.
There we go.
Well, I'm going to get off the horn there and let somebody else talk.
Hey, thank you for calling.
All right. No problem.
Phone lines are open if you'd like to buzz in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Got about 2.5 minutes left in the program today. It's been an interesting one, to say the least, and we enjoy the conversations. Now, don't forget that Glenn Coble comes on when I go off the air today, 10 a.m. until 12 noon, and then Swap Shop today from 12:15 to 1 p.m., where you can sell all your used stuff. That's big time. But in closing today, I think the lesson learned is that don't spend your life in misery, and try to create as little drama as possible. And if you know that there's somebody in your life who is being dramatic, you've got to kind of brush them off. You got to brush them off, because they will. Here's the problem. I've learned this in life. This is a big lesson. You might want to get a pen and paper and write this down. Go into the other room right now. I'll give you a little bit of time here. Go in, get a pen and paper, because I'm about to give you a huge revelation in life here momentarily when it comes to people and drama and so on and so forth. So you have your paper, you have your pencil, you're ready for this. Write this down and look at this in the future. Here's what it is. People, from time to time, here's what's going on. People, for some particular reason, like drama. They like dramatic things. So here's the issue. Sometimes that's fun to be around, because we think we can fix the world. We as human beings think we can fix the world. We can't. There are some people who can't be fixed. You know, as much as we try, there are people who cannot be fixed. We try. Now, it doesn't mean that they're bad people. It just means we can't fix them. But sometimes it's hard to leave a project. You know, it's like when you're putting together a birdhouse. You start putting together the birdhouse, and you think you're going to do well with it, and you don't finish it, and you're angry with yourself because you didn't finish the birdhouse. That's a project. And the same thing happens with drama in that particular way. Sometimes it's hard to walk away from it because in to some degree it's entertaining. It's kind of like gossip. You know, people say they don't gossip. Everybody gossips to some degree. And it's hard to walk away from it. But when you can distance yourself from it, that's when things do get a little better. Tomorrow, we got a great morning here. I'll be on all morning tomorrow. My goodness, what are we going to talk about? I'll be on starting at 8:10 tomorrow morning through 1 o'clock. What a day that's going to be here on WWGH Radio. I'll certainly need some kind of help getting through that particular day, and we'll see how that goes. So, have a great day. Glenn Coble coming up in about 10 minutes.
When the train gets to the last stop, you get off, and nothing is forever. I'd never owned the camera. I was an employee of Time Warner. They were very good to me. I was very good for them. It wasn't a divorce, per se. It was a long, happy marriage that...
And legendary Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
No, he won't call on me. I had two news conferences. I was in his face. I had my hand up and so forth, but he's afraid of my questions, and my questions are very direct. Why are we in a war? Unprovoked, killing innocent people who had no right to be in Iraq, period.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.gh71.com.